life.
All right, it's hour number four on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling back from Chicago, but he's at Big 12 Media Days. In fact, we're about to talk to him. So Brian Fitzgerald producing for us today. We appreciate that. He'll produce today, tomorrow, and probably be helping us out on Wednesday as well when we're over at the Tom Herman deal. Can't wait for that. Remember, Tom Herman right here on the horn tomorrow with his press conference, 10:40 a.m., right in the middle of the midday show. Also, our man Cameron is here doing great work as always. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and bring on Mr. Trey Elling. Middays with Trey and BK, 10 to 1 every day. It's a special couple of editions because they are at Big 12 Media Days, and day two is tomorrow. And like I said, they'll have Tom Herman's press conference at 10:40. Trey, how are you, man?
I'm good, Chad. It feels like it's been about a month since I've seen you between your vacation, my vacation, and now Big 12 Media Days.
I know. Well, most importantly, let's talk about Chicago. How was Chi-Town?
Yep, drink up. Chicago was great. Every year we go on this vacation. It's where my wife is from, where she's lived most of her life until we moved to Austin 3.5 years ago. So the goal of Chicago now with two young kids is to get a lot of good family time, a lot of good city time. We did both those things. The food was great. It was a different food experience this time around for me. I was actually texting with Kevin a little bit about this last week, that there were some things that we go to places for that no longer exist on menus.
It didn't
necessarily ruin the meal, but
I told them.
Is a sign that it's time to venture out and find some new things that Chicago has to offer. So I think next time we go to Chi-Town, we'll do that.
Now, wait a second, food guy. Let me make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. Are you saying that the restaurant no longer exists, or are you saying you are so in love with a particular dish that if it's not there, it could send you out of the restaurant?
His three sweets.
It's dishes. Actually, one of the places no longer exists, the donut shop called... oh, gosh, why am I forgetting the name? Anyhow, one of them is a donut shop that no longer exists. The other two are sweets, and there's also a pasta dish, a pork cheek nudie that is no longer around.
Wow.
So that'll be the last time I go to that Italian place for a while.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, any really good food, though? Anything that was new? Did you try anything new or just kind of the old stuff?
We did stick with the old guard. The coal fire pizza is still, in my opinion, the best Neapolitan pizza. Pizza on the planet. We also had a really good Costa Rican meal at Irazu. Did go to Avec. That's one of the places that no longer has the dessert that we used to love. That's still a really good place. One of Paul Kahan spots over near West Loop. And then also Panas for lunch, a really good sandwich place. They make their own bread in-house. So it was still, the food was still great. Don't get me wrong. It was just a revelation of realizing that, look, things change. Restaurants move on, so now it's time for us to move on in a sense and actually explore some other really good food options in the city.
Gotcha.
Well, let's move on and talk some football.
We can do that too. Trey Elling joining us on the horn, and remember to catch him tomorrow. He's at Courtesy Wave on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. All right, Trey, so I caught the very end of you guys getting to talk with Joel Klatt today. Is Joel still pretty high on the Longhorns, or is he backing up a little bit?
No, he's still a big buyer in what Texas has to offer. He thinks Tom Herman is a big-time difference maker there. He visited Texas football during the spring and saw a different energy, a different attitude, and just a different look on the field versus what he's seen the last, I think he said, 5 or 6 springs that he's actually gone to visit UT practice. And he does believe Texas has a chance to find itself in the Big 12 title game before it's all said and done. I think he is still probably on the OU wagon, more so than any other team in the Big 12, but he is still a big buyer in Texas.
It's a smelly wagon. We've seen it turn over, too. So be careful with that. Now, I didn't catch, I caught maybe the very end, too, like Chad. Did any talk about the quarterbacks? What did he see in the spring personally that he really liked?
He made an interesting point about the quarterback position and what happens to quarterbacks throughout their development, especially in college. You don't necessarily see them get a ton better in terms of arm strength. Maybe you see a little bit of a change in accuracy. What you see a big change in is decision-making. And he was speaking specifically about Sam Ellinger, that he thinks that you'll see him take a big step forward in terms of the types of decisions he's making, especially at the end of games. Look, as a Longhorn fan, I would love to see that. You know, Sam Ellinger, some throws that he made or some poor decisions that he made at the end of games or turnovers that were had, were the difference in Texas possibly winning versus losing. USC, Oklahoma State obviously come to mind. He had a really bad turnover versus West Virginia. It was a game that Texas, of course, won, but it's the type of play that an older quarterback doesn't typically make. Joel Klatt thinks that Sam Ehlinger is going to take that step forward. We'll see less of those mistakes from him, too.
Talking with Trey Elling here on the Horn. All right, Trey, if you were a Sooner fan, I know that's a heavy phrase. If you were a Sooner fan, you'd have 30 less teeth and 30 more pounds on your haunches. But if you were a Sooner fan and you hear Lincoln Riley today say that Kyler Murray's not the starting quarterback and there's still a battle going on, does that concern you a little bit, or do you kind of like that because you feel like there needs to be a battle going on?
Nah, you know, I think if I was a Sooners fan and I had the ability to think rationally and think logically and think critically, I would realize that the overall theme of Big 12 media days, not only today but probably tomorrow as well, is coaches not admitting the obvious, especially in terms of who's starting at quarterback. Look, TCU was trying to peddle to us today. We had one of the linebackers on, and I mentioned Sean Robinson's name taking over for Kenny Hill. And he's like, well, there's still a battle going on. Gary Patterson said the same thing. Sean Robinson was one of the guys at Media Day with the rest of the Horned Frogs, so I'm pretty sure that he's got a pretty good handle on that position. Same goes for Kyler Murray. Chad, you know this as a big A&M fan, somebody who rooted for Kyler Murray his freshman year. Kyle Murray and his dad, they have an agenda. They have a plan, and they make sure that whatever plan is seen through is to their liking. And I guarantee you Kyler Murray is playing football here in the next couple of months because he knows that unless there's some sort of freak injury or some fluke thing that happens, he will be under center for the Sooners. Lincoln Riley can say that all he wants. It's just a little bit of posturing. It's what coaches do nowadays. For some reason, they would prefer to keep it like that versus state what is obvious to the rest of us.
Chad started the show off with that. That was the first thing he was thinking about.
Weird.
That whole parent connection. Well, I know that you look at Matt Campbell like a parent, like a dad, a brother, really more like a husband and a lover. Did you attack him?
He's dreaming.
Did you attack him?
He's dreamy.
No, the only time I saw him, other than when he was up on stage when we were doing our shows, when he was walking past us as the show was still going on. And guys, there was one person who was dressed better than Cliff Kingsbury at Big 12 Media Days today, and it was Matt Campbell.
Oh, here we go.
And the reason why he gets the nod, both guys were dressed very sharply in terms of the suits they were wearing and shoes they were wearing. Kingsbury was going with the no sock look with the suit. And I'm sorry, you get Doc points for that. Matt Campbell is actually wearing the socks. Therefore, he gets the nod and overall best-dressed Big 12 coach today. But it was cool to get to go back and listen to what he had to say as well. Even though they are replacing four or five guys on that offensive line, he thinks that this offensive line has a chance to be a really good unit this year. And he's also high on the depth that Iowa State is starting to establish as well. I think David Montgomery is one of the best two or three running backs in the Big 12, along with Rodney Anderson for Oklahoma, of course. And also Kyle Kemp has, I don't know if he's the best quarterback returning in the conference, but he is one of those guys who has some marquee wins under his belt after knocking off Oklahoma and TCU last year. So Matt Campbell, you know, Iowa State is a team, I think them and Kansas State are the two most intriguing teams to me in the conference this year in terms of what they're capable of, but also considering that they don't have a roster stacked with four- and five-star guys, they could slump back to where we expect the Cyclones to be most years at the bottom of the conference, and Kansas State somewhere in the middle of the conference, too.
And BK said earlier, Chad, he puts Oklahoma State in there, where he thinks they could go 2-7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, this conference is really, in a lot of ways, is one giant enigma. Of course, we expect Oklahoma to be good, and whether or not they're in the Big 12 title game, I think is another conversation that BK and I had today. But after that, you could see any number of teams ending up in the Big 12 title game as well, whether it's West Virginia, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, which I think I'm probably buying Oklahoma State a little bit less than a lot of other people. And even Kansas State could find itself in the mix as well. When we asked Joel Klatt to name his dark horses, he mentioned TCU, and then he also said Kansas State. Don't be surprised to see them win 9 games. If they do that, then there is a chance that they are playing in, I think the title game is in Dallas this year, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Purple has messed up the Big 12 before, Chad.
Oh, yeah, the purple can do it. The purple can get there. We're talking with Trey Elling here on the Horn. Trey, in terms of tomorrow, obviously it's the Longhorns and Tom Herman at 10:40. Based on Herman and those four players that he brought with him, what do you think the big theme is going to be overall from the Longhorns and what the media wants to talk about? I mean, he's bringing, like, meat and potatoes guys, but he's also bringing, you know, Beck, who really didn't play at all last year, and Vahe, who didn't play super well last year, and then he's got a mouthpiece in Hager, and then a guy in Nelson that, frankly, I'm not exactly sure how quiet or loud a guy Nelson's going to be. What do you think we get out of the Texas group tomorrow?
Boy, that is a great point, Chad. First thing I think we get is a reserved Brecken Hager. As much as Brecken Hager can be reserved, I think he realizes that he has the power to create bulletin board material for other teams, so he is really going to be minding his P's and Q's as well as Brecken Hager is capable of. Chris Nelson, look, this is the how many months are we going back now? We're on month 7 of the Chris Nelson buy-in, where the coaches, the players, are trying to make sure Chris Nelson understands just how important a piece he is on this defense for the 2018 season. Chris Nelson, a guy that a lot of people have looked at as a potential transfer candidate going back to January. It looks like he's set and he's staying now, and this is them kind of putting the finishing touches on ensuring that he's on the 40 acres come the fall. Patrick Vahe, boy, you want to talk about intriguing people all across that offensive line. There are so many names to think about, whether it's Calvin Anderson and whether he can continue improving his level of play from what he was able to do at Rice as a 3-year starter. You wonder if Denzel Okafor can actually take a step forward to be a solid option at the right tackle position, because that would allow some other guys to spin down. Vahe needs to finally develop into the type of player that we were expecting after what we saw out of him his freshman year. He's been a decent run blocker this whole time. His pass blocking has been downright atrocious at times. Hopefully, having Calvin Nelson next to him is really going to help him out, as well as the improved play of the center position, whether it's Zach Shackelford or if it's somebody like Kerstetter who spins inside. This is the time for Patrick Vahe to shine. He started to become a leader last year. Now he needs to back that up with his play on the field. And the fourth guy, Andrew Beck, I am ecstatic to have Andrew Beck back this year. I know what a difference he made in the run game last year, or 2 years ago, rather, with Caleb Blewett. And he can also do some things as a pass catcher as well. He's not going to be as dynamic as a guy like Cade Brewer or even Reese Leto when you do finally see Leto on the field. But Andrew Beck is the type of guy who possesses the physicality that this team lacked when trying to use the tight end to block, too.
How much have you already heard, or has it been discussed, and how much do you expect to hear it discussed tomorrow, play calling, and who's going to be doing that for Texas?
Gosh, it made me really sad today to hear so many different people talk about the reason why you won't see this huge fall-off from Oklahoma, and that is because Lincoln Riley has full control over the offense, because not even deep down, I mean, in the wide open, that's what I want out of Tom Herman as well. Now, I understand Tom Herman may not be as comfortable calling plays from the sideline versus being up in the booth, but also seeing what happened in the Texas Bowl last year, the scripts that came out there that really helped Texas get out to a lead and really establish itself throughout the first half and eventually finish off the ball game. I really hope Tom Herman finds it in his heart to start calling plays at some point in the 2018 season. Beck seems like a nice guy. He doesn't seem like the guy for this job, though, necessarily. So I imagine it will be something that's asked about on at least a couple of occasions, certainly while Herman is up on the stage. And then while he's doing his radio rounds, he'll probably be asked about that again.
Yeah, I would think so. Talking with Trey Elling up in Frisco, of course, for Big 12 Media Days. Remember, tomorrow is day 2. Tom Herman scheduled to go about 10:40 for his interview, the back and forth with the media, and you'll hear that right here on the Horn. Be sure to keep it right here on the Horn for the guys getting interviews, all kinds of players and coaches and media members that are coming by. Back to today, Trey, we talked a little bit, I guess, about Campbell and Iowa State, Kingsbury and Texas Tech. Those are two interesting teams for me, because I think they're fighting for the same bit of real estate in the conference to save coaches' jobs and things like that. Which of those teams would you lean with right now, Iowa State or Tech?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know if I'm totally buying Texas Tech as this established defensive unit yet. And if that ends up being the case, that's going to be a big problem for the Red Raiders, because their quarterback options right now don't thrill me necessarily, especially if gosh, what's his name? Carter McLean, McLean Carter. Sounds like a Baylor football stadium combined with a really rich kid out of Highland Park.
McLean Carter, yes.
There we go. He did not impress me at all in the game down in Austin last year. So if he's kind of the front runner for them right there, I think that spells trouble for the offense. Now, they do have Vasher returning at the receiver position. Tech is always going to have pieces on the outside, and that's going to include a behind the quarterback who can do some nice things as well. The Texas Tech's defense is going to have to play out of its minds again, I think, to save Cliff Kingsbury's job, because otherwise I see them in the bottom three of the league. I'm a little bit more of a buyer in Iowa State. I think they are doing enough nice things on offense, and they're capable defensively. They played with the physicality last year. One thing I'll be looking at for Iowa State on the defensive side of the ball is how they replace, not only physically but leadership-wise, what Joel Lanning was able to provide. Of course, Lanning, the former quarterback, ends up as a starting linebacker for them and really solidified that unit. They just kind of ran out of gas at the end of the year. They ended up losing a couple of games that you wouldn't have expected because they didn't have a ton of depth. And once those injuries start to pile up for a team like that, and Texas fans have seen this the last few years, you're in a world of hurt. Iowa State has slightly better depth now. They've really established that culture. So I think Iowa State does find itself in the top, we'll say, five teams in the Big 12 in 2018.
Mm. Trey, I know it's hard if a team goes to the Final Four at the media days next year to really hammer them or grill them on one side of the ball, but I got to think that there's a lot of questions within the media about Oklahoma and Bob Stoops and how good they're going to be on defense.
Mike Stoops,
I'm sorry.
They wish
it was Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, the way that I look at it, and Joel Klatt actually disagreed with me today, and I'll explain his side of things in a moment, but Oklahoma's offense is going to take a step back. Are they still going to be a good offense? Are they still going to put stats up, yards, points, things like that? Absolutely. Lincoln Riley is a very creative offensive mind. They have two really good running backs. They have a quarterback who is a big-time threat with his legs, and they return three or four of their offensive line as well. So they still have pieces on offense, but when you take away a guy like Baker Mayfield, you are bound to see a step back. In that situation, you need to see the other side or sides of the football if you want to count on special teams and taking that step forward. I don't see how Oklahoma does that on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, they have some nice, talented guys over there, but they're still led by Mike Stoops. They're still receiving their play calls and their in-game adjustments from a guy who has proven the inability to get that job done for the last several years now. So Joel Lanning's point, though, is that Oklahoma's defense doesn't necessarily need to be that much better. He sees OU as being one of the best running teams in college football this year. Of course, if you're a running team, occasionally you get the big plays, but you're also a team that really chews a lot of clock, and that will leave OU's defense off the field and much fresher at the end of ball games. If that happens, he's right. Oklahoma's defense has a good chance to look better than they were last year. I'm not buying that, though. I think Oklahoma's defense is going to be a porous enough unit to see a coaching change made at some point in 2018. And if that happens, that means Oklahoma has lost a couple of ball games halfway through the year as well.
Wow. During the season, you see that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a reason why he has Ruffin McNeil on his coaching staff, he being Lincoln Riley right now, and that is that Ruffin McNeil has the chops to serve as DC if needed. Right now he's serving as, I think, defensive line coach and also assistant head coach. Lincoln Riley has him in there as a fail-safe in case he does need to make that change with Mike Stoops.
Yeah, and if it wasn't Stoops, I'll throw just a random name for Mike. If it was like Mike Stripper, he probably would have been gone a year or two ago anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Nepotism got him the job, and it's kept him this job all the way through now.
That is Trey Elling. Check out Middays with Trey and BK, especially tomorrow, 10 to 1, because they will have the Tom Herman press conference for you at 10:40 and all kinds of cool interviews. A lot of folks coming by there in Frisco. Trey, we appreciate it, sir. Have a great night, and y'all have fun tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Yes, right, sir. See you, bub. Yep, Trey will be out there with us over at UT at the Tom Herman deal, I believe, on Wednesday.
So I'm excited about that.
Chance we'll get to see him. He's right. We haven't seen each other in about a month.
Man, he's not going to recognize you.
I know.
What happened to you?
What happened to me?
How do you turn into that in a month? You were in such good shape.
I know. I just let it all go. It's terrible.
It's just, you know, all right.
Trying to get it back. It is Disney World. Disney World and vacations.
Blame Mickey.
All that stuff. It's all Mickey Mouse's fault.
I'm kidding. You look good. Thanks. You still at that spot you want to be at?
No. You're actually not kidding without realizing it. No, I've gained some
really?
Weight.
Oh, really? Have you?
Yeah, gained some weight.
That's what I hate. Because you're one of those people you can't tell.
I got up to like 215. Now I'm probably around 210. I'm not exercising enough. I'm being lazy, and I've turned a corner back on the food thing where I'm trying to focus in on, okay, you cannot eat certain things. Stop.
God.
Like, stop it.
We have to mix greens in here.
We've got to do that. Stop. My two things are soda and bread. I have got to stop. Can't do them at the same time, but just try to get it as little as I can of those two things.
The soda thing, man, I'm cutting back, but it is. You feel it.
Oh, it's hard,
You
man.
Feel it in your head.
Right. Now, that's true.
You do.
When you don't have it, you feel
when you
it?
Don't, yes.
Because
you don't
caffeine.
Have that sugar and that caffeine, there can be some... some rough moments in there.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But who did I put in that spot? I put myself in that spot.
You did. That's right.
So I can get out of it.
That's true.
I can deal with that pain.
Hopefully I can get myself out of it. We'll see. All right, big three coming up. Kevin's got one and done for you as well, and I hope you're having a great Monday. Home Run Derby comes up tonight. We'll give you those matchups in case you haven't seen the bracket coming right up. Also, if you're an NFL fan, specifically a fantasy owner, weird story involving Le'Veon Bell you need to know about coming up on The Horn.
I got big balls.
Wow.
You're going to like this.
Big old balls.
Okay.
Big as grapefruits, big as pumpkins. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Fair enough.
And all my really good days, they swell to the size of small dogs. My balls are as big as small dogs. But it ain't bragging, it's true. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Brian's coming yes, strong.
Sir. Wow.
He pulled me aside knowing that you know, both of you are the music savants, geniuses, whatever you want to call it. Definitely know more than me, so there's a lot of room there. And he was like, do you think Chad is funny enough? Is this too... does he take his music too seriously?
No, probably not.
Right.
Not too seriously.
I said no. I go, no. I said he knows his stuff, but I don't think he takes it too seriously.
So let's start with the name of this track, Brian. What is it?
The name of the song is Tiger Woods.
Of course it is. Tiger Woods by?
Dan Burns.
Dan Burns. B-U-R-N.
B-E-R-N.
B-E-R-N.
All right. And this is actually produced by Andy DeFranco.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, then.
I like how you said it, though, like I should know.
How come I know Annie DeFranco?
Who's Annie DeFranco?
I've heard about her in New York.
Annie or Andy?
Annie.
Annie, like a woman?
A-N-I.
Oh, A-N-I.
She's a musician, right?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right. Tiger Woods. Ed Byrne? Jim Byrne? What'd you say?
Dan Byrne.
There it is. No, we were just talking about during the break. I have no problem with songs that are... sometimes funny, a little bit funny, but it's got to be the right mixture of artistic, you know, being artistic, but also being funny. It's really weird. I can't explain to you why, like, I dig a lot of Weird Al Yankovic stuff, but then Tenacious D sometimes doesn't strike the right tone.
You do love Lunch Lady Land, though.
It's weird. But I don't mind that kind of stuff. I don't own it, but I don't mind it.
I think I had to have owned Sandler.
I mean, I've pulled up Sandler songs for my kid to listen to. She loves them. Lunch Lady Land
Hanukkah
and Hanukkah song and red shirt.
Red hooded sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt. Yeah, all that stuff. All right. Before we get to the big three, I did have one. There's a couple easy old schools for you today, like Jimmy Johnson, the coach.
Okay.
His birthday's today, Arkansas. Barry Sanders is 50
Oklahoma
today.
State.
We should all say this because it makes me feel old. Barry's 50 today. Like, let's big shout out to Barry Sanders because he's a stud.
It feels longer because at the time he retired early.
Right, he did. And our man Cameron is here, who's attending Oklahoma State right now.
Yep.
So we need to send a special shout-out to all the Oklahoma State fans and Barry Sanders. If you didn't see Barry Sanders play, go back, find stuff from the 88 season. It's absolutely stupid.
And then 86, he would have 86, maybe 87, he would have been backing up Thurman Thomas.
Good backfield. To good backfield.
Not a bad backfield.
Good backfield.
Really, Mike Gundy was the worst part about that backfield.
Right. Also, Zach Randolph has a birthday today, and I know you know where he went to school.
Zachary, Michigan State.
That is correct. But here's the big one that I did not know. My guy Terry Pendleton is 58 years old today.
No.
Played with the Braves, almost won a World Series, didn't quite get it done in 91 or 92 with that group. Terry Pendleton, first, can you give me a number?
9.
9 is correct on Terry Pendleton. He also wore 5 and 6. Terry Pendleton went to like a small junior college, but then went and played college baseball. I didn't know this. 2 years. Won conference titles both years. Old school. Terry Pendleton, Do You Know? This one will stick. I'm
gonna
make this
an awesome one. This is right? This is the best one you've given me in 2 months.
We're gonna see if we can make this stick in your brain.
Yeah, because I don't know it, so it's gonna be a total guess. USC.
You're in the right part of the country. Fresno State.
Fresno State?
How about that? Bob Dunn, if you're out there, Terry Pendleton, Fresno State.
I mean, the only baseball guy who went to Fresno who I can think of as bigger is Augie Garrido.
Well, there you go. See, that's a good group.
Guy tonight, Aaron Judge.
That's a nice trio.
Terry Pendleton went to
Fresno State.
Went to JC before that?
Yeah, some kind of small school JC. And I was like, well, I can't ask him that. That's not fair. And then went on to Fresno State.
Wow. Like Fresno. Never knew that one.
I didn't know that either. There you go.
A lot of those guys weren't going to college back then.
Right.
So it was a lot more rare when Chad and I were in the 80s as kids watching it. If a guy did go somewhere, I liked Pendleton. I thought he was a good ball player.
All right, so there you go. Weird old school before we get into Big Three. We're going to start the Big Three with a text I like. Here we go, Big Three.
The Big Three.
We'll get to Home Run Derby stuff, but first, a Texas football fan asks on the text line, 337-3776, the Specs text line, if we are running the pistol this season, can we call it the handgun offense? I like that. In this climate, probably not, but for this show, yes, you can call it.
You can on this show.
The handgun offense. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
I really hope they tell us that Tom Herman tells everybody tomorrow that Herb Hand is either like half calling plays or all the way calling plays. So then the discussions can start on all the hand references
jokes
for the offense. That's what I'd kind of like.
We've already, and I ran into one accidentally.
You did? Oh, it's easy to do. He's got his hand in something.
Lots of stuff.
How much is he going to have? Yeah, so it's all that. So you got Texas football 47 days away, but you are only a few hours away from Tom Herman and his first press conference, technically, I guess, of the season. However you look at Big 12 Media Days, 10:40 tomorrow morning. West Virginia goes first, then it's Texas, Baylor, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. Also, we got the Home Run Derby tonight. Bryce Harper, your biggest name, he's the second seed. The number one seed is Jesus Aguilar. If you haven't seen the big slugger from Milwaukee, check him out tonight. Kevin's got a couple of Cubs in there. Schwarber and Baez are in. If you're an Astros fan, Bregman's in the Home Run Derby. I like the Braves. Freddie Freeman is in the Derby. Max Muncy of the Dodgers, along with Reese Hoskins from Philadelphia, and I think I have now named everybody that's in the Home Run Derby.
I think you got it, and I had someone asking me earlier, Kevin, if you could just pick the 8 best power hitters in baseball, who would be on your list? I mean, guys that aren't in this thing who I'd like to see. Hell, I wouldn't mind to see Joey Gallo in this.
No, I would too. I'd like to see that.
And we talked about it last week. They can come if you're not in the All-Star game. I just don't think they do. Because it's a little bit of a, man, I'm going to the town, and these are all-stars, and I'm hitting 190 and just trying to launch balls here.
So you figure if you're not coming to the all-star game, let me just take my break.
I get the sense a lot of guys think that.
That's fair.
But I'd like to see Gallo. I'd obviously like to see Stanton in this thing. I would like to see Judge in this thing. I'd like to see J.D. Martinez in this thing. Go through the whole league, and I can think of some guys that if you're just going to get the 8 best power hitters, but this is kind of like the slam dunk contest. I think more people participate in this, or more stars do, but still, you're not going to get everyone.
Yeah, it's not quite to that the level maybe you'd want it in your dreams.
In your dreams,
because
right.
It affects the second half of the year a little bit. Max Scherzer and Chris Sale are going to go tomorrow night in the All-Star game to start off. They've been chosen as the starters, so a great matchup there. And then in the NFL, Adam Schefter says today, Le'Veon Bell might sit the first half of the season if he doesn't get a long-term deal. Now, of course, it is July 16th. Let's take that for what it's worth.
Let's take that for what it's worth.
But if you're a fantasy owner, you got to pay attention to that.
We've heard this before.
Right. We've heard things like this exactly.
Donald was last year, wasn't it? Didn't Aaron Donald do something similar and then after one game was back?
Yes. Yeah, right. I think he was the guy last year. So there's the big three. One baseball thing I wanted to mention to you, and watching the Astros game, I saw a couple of – and we were up high on the third base side. So a big perspective on kind of the whole field as it, you know, looking on the side – and
I liked your angle. I texted you that.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch a game from that perspective, which I hadn't done for a while. But one of the things you got to see was I saw a couple of different shifts in the game, defensive shifts. And one we don't talk about a lot is the right-handed batter. So I saw the shift for a right-handed batter where you're just leaving the first baseman and then you wheel everybody around. They took Altuve and they put him behind second base.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically you got shortstop and third are at the same spot. And then you just leave this gap where the second baseman should have been. And
but the first baseman, unlike the third baseman, if no one's on, can't cheat as much to be playing the second base position. Because he's got to get to first base.
Correct, which brings up my question. If in that situation, do you tell that right-handed batter just as much as you tell the left-handed batter, dude, you got to bunt it down that line? In this case, down the first base line. Is it as strong a move for you because it's the first base line?
Possibly, if there's a left-handed pitcher and he's fading away like most of them do, and he's fading hard maybe to the third base line, mm-hmm. then it's a lot easier. Because then the first baseman's got to come up and make that play and either tag you out or get back to first base. So I would be more apt to, man, I mean, look how wide open just the second base area is on the right side of the infield. Even more open than when that shifts on the other way around, right?
Yeah. You could even bunt it towards that gap.
Right, because where does the third baseman play usually on a left-handed shift? Even if someone's on second, but definitely if no one's on. Usually he plays like what the shortstop would.
Yeah.
So the first baseman's got to be closer to the first base line than the third baseman does the third base line.
That's true. Yeah, that was interesting to watch. Astros won 9-1 9-1 Saturday, but then got beat yesterday in Verlander's start. But it was cool to get out to the ballpark and see a little baseball. Of course, All-Star game coming tomorrow night, and they are in Washington for this, if you didn't realize. So one other quick thing here before the break. Somebody text. Actually, you know what? We got to get one and done. My bad. Okay. Hold on.
No. What do you got? And then we'll get the one and done.
Well, we can do it at the end.
We'll do it at the end.
Somebody had a good little text comment about Longhorn football. We'll get that before the end. Right now, let's get you your second one and done on a Monday.
I don't like one and done. I've said it. I think there's a couple things people may not understand.
I don't think it's an indictment.
Come on, people.
One and done.
I don't like one and done.
We want one and done. The president's made that very clear.
One and done.
One and done, baby.
Ready to roll.
It's one and done. We're about done, son. It's one and done. We're about done, son. There it is. It's one and done. We're about done, son. Cabin two.
Like that. Played it all the way out. Look at you. Devoted to the full issue. There it is. Brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, starting at noon, now with Rudy's catered in on Saturday nights. Check out the full calendar at texascardhouse.com. Not enough TV shows have saxophones.
They really don't in
the themes anymore. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Boy, that does scream 80s, though, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
You probably have a pretty good idea when that was composed.
Yeah. And you can hear that and you think, I'm going to guess Reagan was president.
Yeah. I wonder if he has his drip going yet. All right, let's get to some baseball here because yesterday was the Futures game. And the Futures game is loaded with young talent. I went back and looked at some of the stars we've had in baseball the last 20 years. If you play in the Futures game, you're going to play in the big leagues, and there's a really good chance you're going to end up playing in one of these all-star games. There's a reason these guys have progressed to that level, worked through the minor league system, scouts have seen them. But baseball does what baseball does. They shoved it on MLB early in the afternoon with other games going on. Just did not give it the spotlight that it needs. Baseball's always going to have some problems with, especially with where our culture's going and everything has to be so fast. But you're not doing yourself favors whenever you've got legitimate young stars and the D-League or the Summer League is easier to access for a lot of people, or at least they know what's going on. There was some incredible talent watching these guys yesterday. I just feel like there was probably too many seam heads and not enough just sports fans that knew about it.
Yeah, it may happen over time. Maybe over
time?
If it stays where it is
right.
and can maintain itself, maybe that's something that it gets noticed. Or they just notice it without noticing it, because then later on, as long as the majors stay healthy,
right.
Then
no, you're right. You're right.
Maybe they don't even need to know about that level. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's one of those where if your favorite restaurant produces the dish, you don't need to know that there's something going on in the kitchen that's badass.
Okay, I got
you. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, there's this thing that's done every day to get you that linguine, but you don't need to know it as long as the linguine tastes good.
Yeah. Good ramen.
Right.
I didn't know this guy was breaking his back on a paddle for that long.
But if you're a foodie or a seam head or you're into the details, then you can find that out.
Then you want to know how the cake is made.
Right.
Okay, I'm glad I got that take from you.
Yeah. Baseball definitely in a good spot, headed to the All-Star game tomorrow night. Tonight is Home Run Derby. They're setting up stages and all kinds of stuff tonight to get the show on in Washington. All right.
Those are some guns right there.
We'll get you. That is. That's
Carlos
impressive.
Pena.
How about that? I knew you weren't talking about Brian. What's his name?
Brian Kinney. I love Brian Kinney.
But he does
a
great job on MLB Network.
Brian has guns like I have.
he's got dad guns.
He's got pop guns?
Yeah, right. He's got the pop guns with the corks. All right, coming up, we'll get you one last thing before we get out of here. A little college football talk on the floors and the ceilings. Coming up, it's The Horn.
Funky.
Get funky with the bass on the way out. What you got, Brian?
Victor Wooten.
Victor Wooten. Is that the man playing the bass?
Yep.
Does he just play
it
all?
You can't hold no groove if you ain't got no pocket.
Well, that's very true.
There's that.
That's also the name of the song.
Is it just him all by himself? Or is there like a band involved in this?
Occasionally he'll have other instruments, but mostly it's just him.
Man, that's a bass player right
there.
That's
impressive, man.
That is funky, funky good. Thanks to Brian Fitzgerald for producing for us today. He'll do the same tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow you got day two of Big 12 Media Days. Wednesday we're going to be over at UT. Get a chance to talk with Tom Herman. It's the Tom Herman meet and greet with some of our great partners. So we'll get the chance to do that. All these great folks and companies that help us throughout the year. Throughout the entire year, and especially in football season, they're going to get to go and hang out with the coach and take pictures. And last year they had Ricky's Heisman there. That was very cool.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Trey Elling turned into a 10-year-old when he saw Ricky's Heisman.
He did.
That was so cool to watch.
We're taking pictures of it.
Like, it was neat. When it walked in the room, it didn't walk in the room. When someone brought it in the room, it was great. And we all went and took like a picture, you know, kind of standing beside it. But man, Trey was so excited to see it.
He doesn't turn into a 10-year-old very often.
Yeah, that was fun.
He did there.
That's what tonight sometimes becomes for me.
Absolutely.
When back in the day when we watched when David Ortiz was still playing and just guys would just lose their mind. That's what I want to see. Somebody gets on a run. The other guys are helping them. The guys that'll bring them some Gatorade, bring them a towel if they take a timeout.
Their reactions being major leaguers.
Just their reactions, taking pictures and doing stuff on their phones. I love that stuff.
Well, tonight's about fun. And baseball takes that away too often. Mm-hmm. Tonight's about nothing but fun.
Yeah.
That's it. That's your final decision on everything. Was this going to be fun? Let's do it.
And hopefully their new system helps. The biggest thing I noticed last year was, I mean, I think everyone just naturally gets nervous when a countdown is going on.
Yeah.
And they've created all these different countdowns because you get like 4 minutes, I think it is, in the first round,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 minutes or whatever. So you got to go. You can call a timeout if you want, but it sets up a lot of extra drama over and over again. So it's not about who can hit 25 homers, but it's about, hey, you need 2 homers in 40 seconds. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. You mentioned 2 earlier. Could it maybe affect your swing? And I said, the people really within the game say, no, that's overrated, overblown. But we've seen cases where, I don't know what it does, but it doesn't help you, whether it's for that next year. Miguel Sano lost to Aaron Judge last year.
And
remember where Miguel Sano is? Remember they're running his ass in St. Pete?
I was going to say, he's not even AAA.
Oh,
he's
like
at the
single A.
He's at the developmental.
Location.
We're going
to get you back in shape. Now, that was him not being in shape. I don't know how much of finishing second in the Home Run Derby took his head to a place that it's not. That the reality's not.
Well, I think I came up with the solution during the break because you said, hey, I'd like to see a guy like Joey Gallo do this. And I thought, well, that's the answer. You got to find guys that are hitting the most home runs but are the worst batters. And if you can get him on the worst teams, well, then who cares? Let Gallo show up, Trumbo.
Trumbo would be great. Yeah.
Is he still an Oriole?
He is.
Okay, so who cares?
Hell, you could have, it's close to from Washington. You could bust down three of them. Have Chris Davis show up.
There you go.
He hasn't used his bat all year.
Just show up, bring the bat, swing. And then if they stay bad, well, that didn't do it. But then it might snap them out of it.
Right.
Who knows?
At least we didn't mess up their swing.
Exactly.
We know that.
That's what we need to do. All right, so before we get out of here, let's have a little Longhorn Aggie discussion off of this text, because somebody sent us an interesting one. It says, in terms of wins this season, do you agree that Texas has a higher ceiling than A&M, but a lower floor? So we're talking ceilings and floors. Mm. Let's start with the first one. Do we think Texas has a higher ceiling than the Aggies?
Yeah, I would say they do. Year number two compared to one?
Two, yes. Two
schedule.
Two compared to one, the schedule. I would agree they have a higher ceiling.
Conference. I think the SEC will be tougher than the Big 12.
Yes, but I don't know if I agree with the floor part.
I don't either. I think that may be closer because I could see both these programs or both these teams, even this year, falling a little bit more on their face than they wanted to. But mm-hmm. I could see that more with A&M. There's just so many unknowns. There are unknowns with Texas, but it's year number two.
Yeah, it's year number two. So that's
more pressure on Texas, too. More expectations. There should be.
There is definitely more of that. I would say that the Longhorns have a – I think I'd put the Longhorns floor a little bit higher than the Aggies right now.
So we both agree on that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think both are higher for Texas. Both are higher for Texas. But we appreciate the text as always. Obviously, the two teams in this area that the fans are really excited about the season. Almost identical spots. I was thinking the other day, isn't it weird how Oklahoma – Texas and Texas A&M are almost in identical spots coaching-wise.
Yeah, pretty close. That doesn't happen a lot.
It's damn close.
Oklahoma 1 year off.
Oklahoma and Texas are dead on, and then the Aggies are only 1 year off of that. That's pretty rare for those three. So today, of course, it was the Oklahoma turn, and tomorrow it's going to be Texas, Tom Herman, and we'll see. What does the media want to know, and how? What kind of mood is Tom Herman in? Because sometimes he can be pretty shut off, and, hey, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to let you know. How many, you know, is he smiling? Is he in a good mood? Is he defensive about quarterbacks? I can't wait to see it.
Well, one thing he's done a really good job of is, let's do one last thing here.
Let's go one last thing. All right.
One last thing. Pittman!
That he understands, I think your boy definitely understands it, Jimbo. The good coaches understand it. The part of this, too, is also marketing towards 16, 17-year-old kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where you've got to mix that balance. You can't be totally stone-faced.
No. I'm assuming he should be in a good mood. He should be,
yeah. They're in a good spot right now.
It should be a better football team.
It should be a better football team, and if the biggest question that he has to deal with is, hey, we think you're really talented, could you call plays? There are worse things to have to deal with.
That is true. That's a good point.
I would say don't let it get to that point, but
let's see if that question is asked, and let's see what he wants to do with that question.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Bucky and Aaron from Frisco, and all the way through those midday shows, Brad and Trey, 10:40 for the Tom Herman press conference, Rod Babers 1-3, all from Frisco. We'll be back here tomorrow to recap it all, talk about it, and see what you thought of it as well. Be sure to keep it right here all day long tomorrow. Have a great evening.
Hey guys, it's Monkey Hastings. I know who could win the home run derby. My dad. He can hit it a long ways. My hero.